other players' minds, and often that's enough for them to miss. Returning the net from Goff, hold the serve for Paolini, and it's 3-2 to the Italians in this first set.
Olga has sent us in her favourite moment of Roland Garros 2024. She said, "We were lucky with my daughter to come to Roland Garros for the first 2 days, and we got to see Rafa against Zverev the first round. But the highlight for me was when we were on court two waiting for Francis Tiafoe's practice session, suddenly everyone turned to court three where Rafael Nadal came in for his training. His practice wasn't announced and they closed the access quite early, so only the people who were already on the court could watch, and we were amongst them. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow without Radio Roland Garros. Thank you, and hear you next year. Go Carlitos," says Ola in Strasbourg.
Thank you very much, Olga. That's very nice. What a great experience it is to see Rafa here at Roland Garros.
Yeah, I think one of the great innovations here has been having these open practice sessions. You almost treat a practice session in the days leading up to Roland Garros and in the early days as an occasion, letting the public in, allowing them to cheer points and feel involved, because the more exposure you have for fans to players in that situation, the more you see players in a more relaxed environment, you get a sense of their personalities.
You also get a sense of how hard they hit the ball.
Yes.
Sometimes when you're watching a match, players don't actually hit the ball as hard as they do in practice. So you watch a Nadal practice session, it's a phenomenal thing to watch. He hits the ball so hard, and you just think, how on earth is that ball going in? But I think he just does it so that when he plays a match, it all feels a bit easier. As Arati hits, oh, wow. I thought she'd actually hit Siniakova with her backhand volley, but Siniakova got her racket in the way of her chest in time, fended the ball back and won the point. Great reactions. Yeah, she was pushed back, but just, if she hadn't lifted her racket, the ball would have hit her firmly in the chest, but she did really well to get that ball back into play. Serve from Goff, returning the net from Arani. 30 love.
Well, Siniakova's ranked 33 in singles. She's not a bad singles player by any measure, but she lives and breathes doubles, doesn't she? It's just plays very much into her skill set.
Yeah, and her doubles prowess helps her singles. Her performance is no question. She sticks out a racket on the forehand return from Paolini. Lob from Goff is going to be beautiful. Saw how quickly Paolini and Arani were closing the net. Just rolled the topspin lob over their heads. The two Italians sort of both turning back in unison and despair as the ball dropped over their heads and in.
And it landed well in, didn't it? And that sends a little bit of a message of, you want to try ghosting in again, and there's always a danger that I'm going to lob you.
Good volley from Siniakova and a love hold for Goff and Siniakova. That's how to do it. Back to level terms at three games apiece. And not much to choose between these two pairs, as you might expect. Goff, by far the highest ranked singles player on the court, but as Jasmina Paolini has shown, and by coming into the top 10 as a result of her performances here, she also very much a star on the rise. Siniakova, a good singles player, and Arani's been right up there too. So all good singles players and all very good doubles players, and great to see them playing doubles, because not all top singles players play doubles. In fact, not many do, as Paolini just gets her angles wrong on a low forehand volley. Again, trying to punch it instead of maybe drop it. Puts it in the net. Love 15.
Well, as you were saying, in an Olympic year, you do tend to see more singles players playing doubles, because obviously it's another chance of a medal, and they want to try and groove doubles pairings with compatriots.
Backhand cross court from Irani, who starts to move in but then doesn't. Better backhand from Siniakova, leaning on top of it. Using her height, Irani pushing the forehand cross court. Down the line goes Siniakova. It wasn't a good idea because Paolini knew where it was going and puts away the forehand volley. Ad Martin says, it's the third Sunday already. It's always a sad day knowing that Radio Roland Garros will not be with me on the Monday, but thanks for yet again a fabulous 2 weeks and great entertainment. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, it's sad for us too, It's such a fun 2 weeks to be with you all and see this great tennis at Roland Garros and bring it to you. I think we all miss it when we're not here.
We do, and I think,
I mean, we're all resting like flat out nutcases. It was just totally dead, but we do miss it.
Well, and I think our little slightly dysfunctional little family amongst our commentators. We also miss that. We miss the camaraderie as much as we also miss the camaraderie with you, the listeners, and your jokes and your emails and your messages, and when you disagree with us and you want to pick us up on things or correct us with something. We love all of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful two and a bit weeks. And I don't think any of us would miss it for the world.
Missed opportunity from Siniakova on the return, putting the backhand in the net, so it's 30-all as Irani goes to Goff, and Goff tries to up the ante. The forehand volley from Siniakova puts her hands on her hips and then bounces her racket in disgust because she had the court there and she put it long. Would have given them break point. Actually, I think if she left the forehand, it might have gone long. It looked like it was flying. It's game point.
She's got a wonderfully expressive face, Siniakova. When things don't go her way, she's chuntering away and raising her eyebrows and puffing out her cheeks.
Kick serve from Irani, pretty slow, and the backhand eventually goes wide because Goff takes a little move to her left and Irani overcooks it. It's back to juice. Siniakova is one of those players, when you see her on court, if you only ever see her on court, you think she looks one way, and then when she's in person, she's got big hair. So you're suddenly like, whoa, who's that?
Yeah, so when she's playing, she wears her hair in a quite a tight, high ponytail and almost a bun, really.
Goff bashes a return straight at Paolini and then a huge smash. Irani does brilliantly well to get it back in play, and now they're back into the forehand cross-court rallies to Irani as she hooks it high. Goff goes cross-court. Irani's there. Backhand volley from Siniakova's good.
Well, she carved the ball in half practically, didn't she, Siniakova there? Beautiful work from one of the best exponents of doubles in the world. But Siniakova's hair, when it's out, is massive. She's got very tight, very pale curls, and it's big. It's big hair.
It is, and it's very different to what you see on the court. So it's always a shock. Break point for Siniakova and Goff. Irani going backhand to the backhand of Siniakova, who blinks first and puts the backhand in the net. Just maybe needed to be a little bit more patient. Wait for the depth, wait for Goff to be able to intercept.
Siniakova is also, on the court, she's fierce and
quite
ferocious. Quite temperamental and, as I said, very expressive and gets very cross. Off court, she's a bit like Paolini and she's very smiley.
Yeah, I saw Goff and Siniakova walking through the press room the other day to get to an interview. Looking very happy, just chattering away. So they should be getting to the Grand Slam final in their first appearance together. Irani has good court position against Goff, but Goff starts to move Irani back with big forehands. In the end, though, she goes in the net. And it's game point to the Italians.
And doubles teams vary. Some doubles teams are very bonded, and you can see that they're really close friends and they spend a lot of time together. Other doubles teams, it's more of a marriage of convenience, isn't it, where perhaps they meet up, 10 minutes before they play.
Yeah.
And that's the extent of their relationship off court.
Absolutely. As Goff moves forward to hit a backhand volley, she should put the smash away. Oh, she almost knocks Paolini over. Quick apology. Ball straight through Paolini.
I mean, there are some doubles teams that don't talk to each other at all off court and still play very well together.
There have been. I think it's less...
It's less common now, but
I think
there are plenty.
Pays and Bupati, you think of them? So
there's
two.
I mean, there are several down the years, several on the women's side as well. But.
Good hands from Paolini at the net, but she's not going to be able to do anything about the next one. Forehand rammed down the line from Goff, and a chance again for Siniakova and Goff to break. Yeah, Leander Pays and Mahesh Bupati of India had a phenomenal partnership at first, but they quickly fell out. Very strong personalities, both of them. And. But they got back together a couple of times to win more titles and stuff and sort of put up with each other for a while, but eventually split up. Irani serving at break point, just spins a slow kicking serve into the backhand of Siniakova, who goes back to the backhand. And Irani's got all the patience in the world. Siniakova goes after it. It hits Paolini's racket, flies into the stand, and they do break. They move ahead again 4-3. And apology from Siniakova, but it was a legitimate shot. Paolini was smiling, as she always does.
When is she not?
No problem. not a problem there for her. But the break again goes to Goff and Siniakova, and they are the lead 4-3.
Well, getting hit in doubles is certainly part of the sport and part of it. Something that fans, I think, watching at home or fans in the stadium think there's a bit more in it than there is, and that it's a, you know, you'll often hear people gasping that somebody gets hit. But I think it's an accepted part of doubles, isn't it? It's, know, you don't necessarily go after your opponent over and over again with the only goal to hit them.
No.
But to attack an opponent and try and test their volley out is perfectly reasonable.
Well, the point is they're blocking part of the court and you're trying to hit into it. It's not your fault if the ball hits them. Message from Barbara. Hello again. Agree with both to the first listeners. One, an immensely huge thank you to the whole team for the best weeks of the year. Thank you, Barbara. Two, hard to pick a favourite. Sympathise with both teams due to losses for Goff and Paolini. And Simon, if you say it's final day once more, I'm going to cry. Okay, promise I won't say it again. We might have to say goodbye ourselves after this, though, because this is our last commentary together for either of us.
Yeah.
Before the men's final, which will be Marcus and Gigi and Antoine. So we will say goodbye, but we won't say what day it is anymore.
We won't.
Promise.
We won't. And we'll say à bientôt instead of a final goodbye.
So, Goff, Siniakova with the break on the Siniakova serve. 4-3. High ball toss from Siniakova. Forehand from Paolini slapped down the line, but she says the serve was out. I'm not sure about that. She circled it very confidently.
Coco Goff just at the net.
No, it
just
is.
Double-checking.
Yeah. Again, you could hear Goff's voice. It just carries so much, doesn't it? Amazing. A very strong voice. More ways than one. Always happy to talk about any complicated subjects. Doesn't duck any issues, which is great from a media point of view. Backhand volley from Goff is good. It bounces over the head of Paolini.
I think it's great from a tennis point of view to have one of your most high-profile players able to talk about things outside of tennis and accept readily that leadership role that you get when you're in the public eye. And to be fair to Iga Świątek, she has also talked about a lot of issues, you know, on the world stage, really.
Yeah, I think it's obviously easier for Goff in being a native English speaker, harder for Świątek not in her first language. 15-30 as Goff puts a forehand slice in the net.
Well, yes, when you're talking about very nuanced things, it would be a little bit frightening to be talking about global events when you are not a first-time English speaker, as Siniakova just despairingly watches the ball almost trickle along the ground about a metre away from the end of her racket.
That was a clever return from Mirani down the line. Mirani and Paolini using hand signals to tell each other where they're going to move. Two break-back points for Paolini and Errani, and they only need one of them because the return is good from Paolini. Errani, sharp as you like at the net, puts the volley away. And it's back on terms at 4-4.
Well, she's part sprite and part jack-in-the-box, Errani, isn't she? Because she seems to be everywhere. She moves beautifully. She's got a very good reading of exactly what the play is. And she'd be really annoying to play, wouldn't she? Because she's like, pops up just when you think you're going to hit a winner. Up comes Errani with her racket.
That's her 11th appearance at Roland Garros. And her 4th appearance in the finals, having finished as runner-up twice, 2013 and 2014. Goff gets cramped by the serve from Paolini, but the lob from Goff is really good. Is it? Ooh, it was finally called out. Paolini was scrambling back. I think it probably was long, although they're not sure. No, it is out. It just felt a tiny bit long. Paolini was storming back to it. And as she ran after it, she sort of then suddenly turned to look at the mark because she thought it was out, and it was.
So Siniakova wanted to argue a little bit more, and Goff very quietly just came up behind her and said, come on, back to the task in hand.
Errani with Roberta Vinci winning titles in Australia at 2013 and 14, here in Roland Garros 2012, Wimbledon in 2014, and the US Open in 2012. Not a bad resume, as Siniakova pushes Paolini back and the volley from Goff is short, but Siniakova goes back to hit the drive volley on the backhand side. It's good enough that Errani can't pick up a half volley. as you said, Irani, one of seven teams to complete the career doubles slam in the Open era. Another one, Siniakova, with Barbora Krejcikova winning seven titles together. Paolini hasn't played as much doubles as Irani, but she has won two titles this year with her fellow Italian. Prior to this week, she'd never been past the fourth round in a slam. Here she is in two Grand Slam finals in consecutive days. Not too bad. Big forehand from Paolini. Siniakova plays the backhand volley straight back to her, and then they go back into one of these long rallies cross-court. And Irani's move again puts Goff off. The forehand flies long, and it's 30-15. Yeah, they won Roman Lintz this year. Also won titles, Paolini with Irani in Monastir last year, but also in 2021 in Hamburg with Jill Teichmann. Siniakova sitting at the top of the list of Grand Slam doubles winners going back to 2010 with seven, sharing that distinction with Shea Siwe. A big shout of out, and the umpires come down to look at it, and actually it was good. I think the linesman just woke up there.
Yeah.
Something gave him a bit of a jolt.
Ooh. Ah!
And Irani has five, so she's in that list as well. And Lucy Safarova, who's here this year playing in the Legends, actually hasn't... Well, she's sort of not fully retired.
She's hinting, isn't she, at whether she's thinking about coming back. But she's never been that specific about whether she actually will.
Forehand goes long from Siniakova. It's 40-15 on the Paolini serve at 4-all. I spoke to her at the Legends Media Day, and she said that she's playing an event in Prague with her nieces, or with one of her nieces, because they're both good players, so she's helping them out. And I said, oh, are we talking full comeback? She goes, no, it's not happening. Backhand volley from Irani, under a lot of pressure off the power of the return from Goff, goes just wide, it's 40-30. So don't think she's coming back, but she's still in great shape. She's lost none of her muscle. You see, players, when they quit, they lose the muscle. They just sometimes slim down. You know, men and women, you see them looking, you're like, oh. But she still has all the muscle because she's still playing a lot. But I don't think there's any chance of her coming back. She's 37 now, and playing singles especially, not an option. The game goes to the Italians as the forehand return from Siniakova goes long, and it's 5-4. But she was a former finalist here, Lucy Safarova, in the singles. And a very good doubles player too.
Well, it's the first time in a while, isn't it, that the Italians have been ahead. Couple of exchanges of breaks of serve. Still don't know how this one's going to work out. It's very, very tight out there. As we said, these are two extremely high quality pairings and four very, very accomplished individuals. So I think we're in for a bit of a treat, and it's certainly proving that way so far. Trey says, good day to you all from the sunny and hot Republic of Macedonia. Ooh. I started listening to Radio Roland Garros in 2018, and ever since, I haven't missed any radio coverage from any slam.
Wow.
It's been a great fortnight, but like every year, as the tournament's drawing to a close after so much intense listening, I'm now feeling sad. Thankfully, next week I'm participating in a conference in Guildford, so that should help dilute the sense of emptiness, at least just a little bit. Au revoir, until next year. Go Zverev.
Ooh.
Thank you, Trace.
So it's Goff to serve. Four fives, more people filter in to court. Philippe Chatrier filling up this fantastic stadium as Paolini goes long with a forehand. A ball that kept a little bit low, took it by surprise. Yeah, Hillary says, hi team, I've been a fan of Coco since she burst on the scene as a teenager, but Paolini's become a new favourite after her exploits this year as Irani lifts a return to Goff, plays the backhand back into the backhand corner of Irani, who's coming forward now. Goff goes low with the backhand, Irani stretches to reach the volley. Now they're back to Paolini hitting the ground strokes up the line to Goff, trying to avoid the net players. Goff smashes a backhand forehand cross court from Paolini, a beauty. So Hillary says, I'll be happy whichever team wins. Like a former correspondent, I don't want either team to lose. I missed Friday's semi between Alcaraz and Sinner as I was travelling to a horrible England match at Wembley. Yeah, I know the one you mean. Wish I hadn't gone, she said. That's the one that lost to Iceland.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. Cricket.
I'm hoping Alcaraz will win this afternoon, which will be the last time I hear your wonderful coverage until next year, sadly. Well done to you all again. Thank you very much, Hillary. You don't need me to tell you who won that point. Sara Rani's yell of joy as she bashes away a forehand volley, and it's 15-30 on the Goff serve. Goff has been rock solid on serve so far, but they're under pressure here. Goff serves into the net. Ball boy gathers the ball. Ball girl sprints across. It's right next to him. Second serve from Goff. Oh, it's a good body serve. Siniakova gets there on the volley and pushes it away, and it's 30-all. That was a good second serve.
It was a great second serve because Irani was putting her under pressure. She was bouncing on the baseline, moving in just a couple of steps, almost trying to entice Goff to go for too much.
Still 2 points away from the set, though, for Irani and Paolini if they can take this Goff service game. The second serve. Paolini mishits a forehand. She's running around the backhand to hit it. Just mishit the forehand and it goes wide.
Almost trying to overthink that one, Paolini.
Well, she just wanted to club a forehand. Sometimes when you're on the move, it's very easy to mistime it. And it goes wide and it's game point. Goff, Siniakova on the Goff serve. Again, misses the first serve. She's been relying on her second serve in this game. Stood up well. Irani standing on the angle outside the tram lines. Hits a forehand inside out off the return. Backhand return. Backhand from Goff. Yell from Irani after a soft forehand. Backhand up the line from Goff. Paolini goes straight down the line. Bigger backhand from Goff. It should be hammered away by Siniakova. Is. And it's a good hold to serve for Goff and Siniakova. 15-30. They escape and they are level at 5 games apiece.
Oh, good teamwork from the American-Czech pair. Must be a nice feeling when you're hitting your ground strokes, trying to push the opponent deep, to know that your partner is there at the net.
Yeah, that is the importance of the depth. Just means that it's much harder for the baseliner to get a good shot away and avoid the net player. Goff avoids Irani, but Siniakova very quick to move cross court. Then she goes back the other way for a backhand volley. Doesn't put that away either. Goff goes on the forehand cross court. Up the line goes Goff. Irani sticks the racket out on the backhand. Paolini to the forehand volley of Goff. It's short. Paolini on the forehand. Backhand volley goes long. And the Italians win the point.
You can see what Goff and Siniakova were trying to do there. Just go on the attack. Try and create some pressure. And Siniakova was everywhere, wasn't she? This way and that way. Beautiful court coverage. But the Italians were up to the challenge.
5-all. 15 love in Irani's serve. Just 107 kilometres an hour, but they're not able to attack it easily because of the spin. Backhand volley from Paolini puts a hand over her face as the ball goes long. She's intercepting, trying to make an impression. Just missed. 15-0.
And more allays from the Italians, which you might have heard.
Now, Paolini is standing on the baseline alongside Irani, which is very unusual when you're serving. But Paolini then hits the forehand as Goff goes to the baseline down the line. Lob from Goff is not good, and Irani puts it away. That is an unusual... You don't see that very often, and they're going to do it again. Usually the server, obviously, is... You know, the serve is an attacking shot, but with Irani, it's not really that. So they're feeling, the Italians, that it's better for Paolini to stand back alongside her, and then they can move forward, as Irani does now when puts the backhand volley away. She might not have a very good serve, but the rest of her game is sharp.
So sharp.
And
her
smart.
Movement, smart, and also I think her movement is fantastic. Her anticipation and her understanding of where to be and how to be in the right place at the right time.
40-15 as she loses the ball toss over her head. Quick sorry. Second serve. Bashed by Goff, but wild and wide, and the Italians hold and they lead 6-5 in this first set. Yeah.
Errol says, good morning, Lady Eleanor and Simon. Well, this is it, a final day of an amazing fortnight. What are we going to do after the final ball is struck? I've loved the banter, the commentary, the information, the history. So bravo to all of you. Props to Gigi, Marcus, Chris and Antoine, and not forgetting Stefan for his sterling work in bringing Radio Roland Garros to us, the listeners. Did you forget us? You've also forgotten Courtney Walsh.
Oh, they put us at first. Okay. Good morning to us.
I'll let you off then, Errol. But Errol from Wolverhampton. Courtney. I'm going to miss the family that have kept me going for the last 2 weeks. Next stop, Wimbledon. All the best and see you at SW19. Well, thank you, Errol from Wolverhampton. Much appreciated. Alex says, is Iga the favourite for Wimbledon? What's going on with Rybakina? Best to all of you. Best to all of you until next year. That's Alex in Montreal. What do you think, Simon?
No, I wouldn't say she's favourite at Wimbledon necessarily. Certainly not a big favourite. She'll be up there among the favourites because her record at Wimbledon is not good. As we said yesterday, she's never been past the quarterfinals in four attempts. But of course, you know, she comes in under on a high, and the question is whether she's fresh enough mentally to give it a really good go. But there'll be other players, Sabalenka, Rybakina, Goff, others too, who will, on Chabert, runner-up in the last 2 years, who will really fancy their chances of doing something special. So it'll be much closer in terms of favouritism when we get to Wimbledon. But here we are in the doubles final. It's 5-6, Siniakova serving. Irani dancing all over the net, can't get to the ball yet. Paolini goes at Goff. Then she goes back at Goff. Goff reaches the forehand volley. It's back in play. Paolini goes down the line to Siniakova, who hits a good backhand. Goff plays on the short volley on the angle, and it's good. First time they've really used a little bit of touch of the net, and it worked.
Yeah, sometimes it's not about thumping the ball away with a volley. Sometimes it's just about a little bit of court craft at the right moment, and we saw that there from Coco Goff.
Wind whipping the clay off the court skirt of Siniakova.
Looks like a sand dune, doesn't it, where the wind just catches that top dusting.
Just have to wait a moment as the clay blew through the court. It's 15 love, misses the first serve. Takes the return back from Irani. Doesn't bother getting a new ball, just goes again with the second serve to the forehand of Irani, who tries to fire it at Goff, but puts it in the net and slaps her thigh and yells at herself for missing. 30 love, couple of points away from a tiebreak in this first set. And what's wrong with Rybakina? Good question. She's struggling a little bit for full health. She's talked a little bit about having some problems with it. Doesn't want to give too many details, but yeah, she's not quite herself at the moment, and hopefully she will find an answer to that as we get closer to Wimbledon and on, because she's a big threat to Wimbledon, having won the title 2 years ago, of course.
Yeah, she has had periods where she's had to pull out of events with illness. I mean, she pulled out of Rome and then certainly seemed to be below par here in her final match.
She was struggling to sleep that well here, but it's we'll see how she goes. Hopefully she'll be firing on all cylinders at Wimbledon. Good volley from Goff, and we are 1 point away from a tiebreak, 40-15 on the Siniakova serve. Let's go, says Coco. Siniakova serves with that abbreviated backswing on the serve. Backhand volley from Goff, lob volley from Irani's good. Siniakova goes across to her backhand side to get it. Then she fires it at Irani, but Irani's hands are good. She just redirects that ball down the line, past Goff, and it's 40-30.
Sometimes you have to become like a human wall in that situation, don't you? Just deflecting the ball back.
Still game point. Lofted return from Irani, who's then coming forward, leaves the ball for Paolini. Backhand down the line from Siniakova. Irani trying to get all the way across, has to go back to her position. Paolini just trading blows straight down the line. It's like a drill between these two. Up the line goes Paolini. Goff looking to move forward, and that move from Goff preempts the mistake, and we are going to have a tiebreak, six games apiece.
And that's the beauty of doubles, isn't it? Sometimes the move, you could be nowhere near the ball, and the move can still win you the point.
Absolutely. Very, very important what the doubles, the net player does. You've got to work as a team. Try and force the opponents to miss or create opportunities to hit a winner. So, here we go with the tiebreak. It's Paolini to start, serving to Goff. Siniakova standing near the baseline as well on the first serve. Now the second serve after the first serve is long. Siniakova moves forward to a more regulation position inside the service box. Goff gets a sort of serve wrong from Paolini. Then she lifts a forehand down the line where it's Irani was crossing. So that goes straight past her. Big forehand from Paolini off a poor forehand from Goff. Just sat up asking to be hit. She went inside out for a winner.
Yes, you were looking at that thinking this is a matter of time before Paolini tees off because the forehands from Goff just weren't getting enough depth. And you could see Paolini just warming up for one of the forehands that we've seen so many of during these championships.
Still a heck of a forehand. There wasn't much space between her partner and getting it into the court, but she managed to find it. Irani raising the decibels as she lifts a forehand, cross-court forehand from Paolini. Siniakova reads it, but pushes the forehand volley wide, and she's gesticulating towards her team. Don't think it was their fault.
You can argue with her. I'm not going to argue with her in that frame of mind.
She was there. She just slightly overhit the forehand volley. Not much wrong with it.
I think she was almost trying to make it too good a shot, trying to hit the line.
The first mini break goes to the Italians. First serve from Goff was aimed at the body of Paolini, just too long. She serves to the forehand of the Italian. Oh, good hands this time from Siniakova. Good reactions. Didn't actually mean to drop the ball so short with the volley, but it worked perfectly. Almost just self-defense. But it's 2-1 still to the Italians on the Irani serve now.
You do always feel the need to atone, don't you? When you're playing doubles and it's you know that you've lost a point through an error, you always want to win the next one.
It's funny how once you've missed one shot, the next one tends to come your way as well. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. Irani just spins the serve in, very little on it, but they're not able to attack it as Siniakova goes straight back to Irani. She hadn't spotted Irani coming in. And she whacks the court with her racket in annoyance, frustration. But it was another good move from Irani to come forward and a good volley to finish it off, and it's 3-1. Again, Paolini standing right, actually behind Irani as she serves in terms of depth in the court. Irani back to the backhand side and then to the forehand of Goff, and Irani comes forward, plays a good backhand volley, but it goes just long.
Goff just turning the dial up a little bit on the speed of that forehand just at the right moment.
And the mini breaks erased.
Almost as if saying, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of Irani. I'm going to just put a little bit of extra power onto this.
So back on serve. 2-3. Siniakova serving. Gets it a little bit wrong with the first serve. Again, gathers the return from Irani. Just uses that ball very quickly. Ball boy goes back to position. Good serve to the forehand of Irani, who lifts it deep and then takes the ball away from Paolini's backhand on the forehand side. Forehand from Paolini down the line to Siniakova. We've seen this rally a fair bit, but this time Paolini misses the forehand wide, and they will change ends with the scores at 3 points apiece.
We have seen that rally quite a bit, and almost always Siniakova's patience pays off, doesn't it? And because Paolini has such an aggressive attacking forehand, she just sometimes just draws the error, does Siniakova.
Yeah, and on other occasions, Paolini's hit a few winners, so it's pretty even when they do go that way. Both these pairs right in this set, of course. Tiebreak, 3 points apiece, first to seven. Got a win by two, at least. 55 minutes played here at Roland Garros. Siniakova serves from the other end. The forehand of Paolini goes back down the backhand side, does the check. Goff looking to pick it off at the net, can't get to the forehand from Paolini, who's still deep in the court. Irani makes the move. She puts the volley away, and it's 4-3 with a mini break again.
She was poised, wasn't she? Just constantly waiting for the opportunity to get involved. I think she's been in lots of ways the dominant player
just
in terms
definitely.
Of yeah at the net, in terms of her movement, in terms of how intimidating she is, of the message she sends to the opponents.
She's the leader in the pair, that's for sure. Lot of experience. Great kick serve from Paolini at 4-3. High return from Siniakova from outside the tram lines. Can't get it into play. That was a great serve. 5-3. Yeah, the movement of the net, it's all about timing. You've got to time your move properly. If you go too early, the baseliner can see you and they'll go the other way. But Irani, more often than not, gets it right. 5-3, Paolini serving. To the backhand, inside-out return from Goff. Then she goes after a forehand, doesn't come forward, and the forehand from Paolini just gets her footwork slightly wrong. Ball moves on her, and it's in the net, and they're back on serve, 4-5. Goff, two serves to come.
This entire set's been an arm wrestle, hasn't it? And so it's not a surprise to see that continuing into the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I need a coffee, I'm not sure about that. Goff serving at 4-5. Good serve. Ooh, a let. Just blocked back by Irani on the forehand side. Still quite breezy. There's a message from Happy Me saying, I knew it wasn't 23 degrees. She's looked at the weather forecast. It's about 18, 19 at the moment, with a bit of breeze. And the breeze definitely playing a role as the ball moves around on the backhand from Irani, which wasn't hit with much spin, but just gets a little bit of sideways lateral movement that makes life difficult for Goff. Irani comes forward. Short volley from Siniakova is good, though. It's 5-5. Irani made the move forward first, played a good volley down the line, but the volley from Siniakova was better, shorter. Paolini couldn't make up the ground to get there, and it's 5 points apiece. That lovely point in a tiebreak where the next point means someone has a set point.
The crowd just starting to get into it. Lots of people in here today.
5-5, Goff serves. Down the tee, good return from Paolini. Siniakova, though, brilliant move at the net, and she puts it away at the second time of asking. And it's set point, Goff and Siniakova.
She almost out Irani there, Siniakova. And all of that experience, all those doubles titles, all of that accomplishment, well, you could see it there, couldn't you, in that move.
Irani serving, set point down. Just a slow, spinny serve to the forehand of Siniakova. Goff at the net. Doesn't put the volley away first time. Doesn't put it away second time. Paolini gets it back into play. Forehand cross court from Paolini. The lob volley from Irani goes long. And that is the set to Goff and Siniakova. They take the tiebreak 7-5. And they move ahead in this women's doubles final at Roland Garros.
Siniakova and Goff will be very pleased with that. Winning that first set because it was not easy at all. Twice they went to break up, twice they were pegged back. Irani was all over the court. Paolini's forehand was causing all sorts of trouble for them. But just the right moves at the right time in the latter stages of that tiebreaker. Vitali says, good morning from London. Continuing my new tradition of listening to Radio Roland Garros while walking through museums. Today it's the Natural History Museum. Well, it's a lovely museum, Vitali.
And it is.
Do enjoy yourself. Say hi to the dinosaurs for us. Sarah says, I am here for all the silliness. One of my favourite bits of Roland Garros this year was a ball boy hitting the winning shot, and a very good one too, yesterday in a Legends match between Clément and Forget and Zonga and Velander. Barami had featured, and she uses inverted commas, earlier in the match. People love the Legends. They love it.
Yeah.
It creates such a lot of entertainment. It's, as we were saying yesterday, such a big part of week two to be able to watch these incredible players. And perhaps, you know, you came to Roland Garros, you were lucky enough to come here 25, 30 years ago and watch these players, or even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago in some cases, because there's a big age range in the Legends. And now you get to see them again. You get to see them in a more relaxed environment. And it's still very, very good tennis. So a big part of the tapestry of the second week.
Rob says, favourite moment was actually the 4.5-hour epic match between Djokovic and Musetti. I watched the first set, listening to your commentary, got in the car and drove to town, listening all the way, picked up Dad, went to Mass, missed third set, went to in-laws and finished the match. That's excellent. She doesn't even have a whole day's work. while you listen to us.
That was a long match.
It was.
I'd say my probably match of the tournament was Świątek versus Osaka. I think the way Osaka played and the way she tested Świątek and the way Świątek lifted her game, for me, that's one of my takeaways. One of the moments that I'll remember.
That was a very good match.
And I love it when an upset's on the cards, and it wouldn't have been an upset because obviously Osaka is a four-time Grand Slam champion. But in terms of Świątek's dominance here, and the fact that this is by no means Osaka's favourite surface, and Osaka is still somewhat on the comeback trail, it would have been a huge shock. And when you get those moments, there's just a frisson of excitement that goes around everywhere at Roland Garros. Everywhere there's a screen, people are gathered around it. The media centre was silent. I was down there and I was watching the match points and all of it, the very high quality tennis, but really lots and lots of drama. So for me, that's probably the moment that I'll remember and take away from here.
Yeah, that was a very good match, and Świątek becoming one of those champions who wins the title, having saved a match point along the way. Happens fairly often. Not that often, but it does happen.
Errol says, sorry, Courtney, I knew I'd forget someone. Giving us the Aussie flavour on Radio Roland Garros. Exactly. Yes, indeed.
And Errol's got a question that maybe you can answer, Eleanor. Are the line officials local to each tournament, or are they part of an international professional setup or body? Pass that one on to you.
Thanks. I really appreciate that, Simon. Thank you. Well, the umpires are part of an international set, and there's a badge system, so gold badge being the most accomplished of umpires. Usually the line judges are, some line judges are international, but usually the line judges local. Are drawn from the federation.
Yeah. You'll see them at different tournaments inside that country, but generally they'll be from the local setup through the, in this case, the FFT, the French Tennis Federation. So, getting ready for the second set as Goff begins with a good serve. I mean, Goff and Siniakova took the first set 7-6 to tiebreak 7-5. A very close first set, as the scoreline suggests. A couple of times Goff and Siniakova up a break, pegged back by the Italians of Irani and Paolini. And Irani plays a backhand lob, which Goff leaves and goes long.
Yes, and likewise at when we move to the grass court tournaments in Nottingham, for example, or in Holland next week, and those officials will be local to that country. Because you've got to remember, there are loads of tournaments. We're talking about the cream of the cream of the cream when it comes to the Grand Slams, but there are layers and layers and layers of tournaments in professional tennis at all levels, and obviously junior tournaments and senior tournaments and so there's lots of work for officials at lower tiers.
Yeah, exactly. 30-15, Goff serving. Goff serving first in this set, as she did in the first set, which means that she's serving now from the other end, which a lot of the time players like to stay ends in terms of serving. They like to keep that rhythm going. But when you've got one server better than the other, or they think is better than the other, then generally that person will serve first in each set. If the score in the first set means that you've had to switch in terms of when you get to serve. Missed forehand from Goff, and it's back to 30-all in this first game of the second set.
And players often have an end where they struggle, don't they, in doubles. You notice that one player doesn't like serving from a particular end. It might be the light, it might be where the sun is at that time of day.
Yeah, if you've got a left and right-handed player combination, you can work your way around the sun. You shouldn't have to worry about that. If you're both of the same hand, then you have to adjust, and someone has to deal with the sun more than the other. Goff misses a forehand, long, slightly mishit, and it's a break point early in this first set, a second set for Irani and Paolini. Chance for the Italians to get ahead. Better first serve from Goff, but it's defended back well by Irani. And then hits a forehand with a lot of spin. Backhand just lofted up, but Siniakova's right underneath it, puts the smash away.
And Irani a little bit cross with herself there, because just not quite enough on the lob. Certainly not to not to outfox a player of Siniakova's quality.
Straight two hole, wasn't it? She underhit the lob. Was a bit annoyed after a good return. Goff serves to the forehand of Paolini, who slaps it down the line. Siniakova stands her ground at the net. There's the lob from Goff. It's going to go long. It was the right shot, probably, but she just overhit it. And it's another break point.
Well, Goff has hit a couple of great lobs so far in this match. And as Simon said, absolutely the right shot. But sometimes just not easy to execute. When the ball comes at you quickly, you don't have quite enough time.
Serve into the net. Second serve from Goff to the forehand of Irani. Goes straight at Siniakova. The Siniakova blocks it back. Then the backhand low from Goff. Dug out on the volley by Irani, but it's gone wide. Irani starts wandering towards the net to look at it. It was clearly out. Goff just points to it. Umpire says out. Just a little bit. Tiny bit. Irani still not convinced.
It wasn't quite so much wandering as marching. She marched right up to the net. Hands out, hands on hips, and then hands out with her palms up as if to say, how dare you?
Well, it's, yeah. It's,
there was no doubt.
Well, no, from our position, you could see that it just drifted wide, but she wasn't convinced. Back to deuce. Goff trying to serve out wide. Tennis etiquette means you should never go around the net to argue a point. You do see it sometimes. Sometimes in junior tennis, you'll see some people lose their minds a little bit, but generally people remember. Whoa, Goff gets a second serve all wrong. Actually goes to the left of Irani, who is standing in the service box. And an apology from Goff because it almost hit Irani.
That was a complete mishit, wasn't it? One of those ones that you sort of want the ground to swallow you up a little bit after you hit one like that. Just came out all wrong, didn't it?
It happens sometimes. She follows it with a monstrous serve down the tee to save the break point. That's how they save it.
Going around the net, of course, happened most famously here in the 1999 final with Martina Hingis. And it set off a chain of events.
Steffi Graf.
Yeah, against Steffi Graf in one of the most memorable ladies' finals we've had here at Roland Garros.
Return from Paolini. Good high volley from Irani, but a nice little soft half volley from Siniakova, waving her fist at Coco Gauff.
In a nice way.
They have game point. In a nice way.
Yes, where Hingis coming round the net to argue a point with a little bit too much vehemence, and the crowd got into it and showed their disapproval. And, well, from that point on, Hingis's chances really unravelled.
Game point, Gauff and Siniakova. Second serve to the forehand of Irani. Gets it back, lofts a backhand over the head of Siniakova, then goes forehand to Goff and starts charging towards the net. Half volley from Rani's good. Little forehand lifted by Goff. She gestures to where she should have played it, which was down the line, inside in, but she tried to flick it over the head of Irani and missed it. Back to juice.
Yeah, sometimes you can be too clever, can't you? And then you end up in two minds about where you want it to go and you miss hit.
Goff serving. Big first serve, 199k, but got back well by Paolini. Too well for Goff. Forehand goes long, and it's another break point for the Italians. John says, John in Philadelphia, I misheard and thought you said French Toast Federation for a second.
They'd be really good at making toast too.
Yeah, could be. French Tennis Federation. Thanks for your great commentary these 2 weeks. We'll come back to your question in a moment as Goff serves and the return just in the net from Irani. Do any of these players have prior major wins in doubles? I imagine at least Irani does, maybe Siniakova does too. Well, yes, absolutely. Just a reminder that Irani and Siniakova individually have 7 Grand Slam titles each. Both very, very experienced. Siniakova winning her titles with Barbora Krejcikova. Roberta Vinci was the partner for Sara Irani as she won her titles. Goff looking for her first Grand Slam title of any kind, and Yasmini Paolini the same.
First Grand Slam doubles title.
Of any, for Goff.
What about the US Open last year? Are we not counting
US Open
that?
Singles title, which obviously is quite good. Yes, you're right. Looking for her first doubles title. And as somebody pointed out yesterday, she's tried a lot of partners, so she's running out of them. This one's got to work. Backhand volley from Siniakova is good. Pushes Paolini wide on the forehand side. Goff goes down the line with a forehand. Siniakova can't reach the smash, so Goff goes back, hits a double hander, and the backhand in the net from Paolini. Goff and Siniakova escape a couple of break points to hold serve at the start of this second set, having taken the first on the tiebreak. And yes, of course, Goff's US Open win was a stunning performance last year. She won a bunch of three-set come-from-behind matches to win her first slam title. And amazingly, Coco Gauff is still 20.
I know. It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's extraordinary to think that Irani is a whole adult person older than Coco Gauff.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking for somebody just to partner up with for a couple of tournaments, then picking somebody who's been world number one for 100 and something weeks and won 7 Grand Slam doubles titles is not a bad one to pick.
No.
As we said earlier, Siniakova has had to adjust to different partners because her partnership with Storm Hunter, which was looking very, very good, and I'm sure they would have won lots of Grand Slam titles together, is on a pause because of Hunter's Achilles injury.
That's right. As Goff lifts a forehand lob nicely over the head of Irani, and Paolini has to scramble back. The ball's going to drop short. Bounce smash for Goff, who adjusts her feet, goes down the middle. Irani gets it back. Siniakova stands there with her racket waiting, puts the smash away. Just to clarify, Irani's actually won 5 Grand Slam singles titles. She won 2 Australian Opens, 1 Roland Garros, 1 Wimbledon, and 1 US Open. And Siniakova has won 7. And her 7 came, let's see, she won 2 Australian Opens, 2 Roland Garros, 2 Wimbledons and 1 US Open, and she's also won the Olympic gold. So there a lot of experience on the court in Grand Slam doubles for both pairs. Siniakova and Goff looking to move ahead in this set as Siniakova plays a nice angle on the backhand volley. Paolini gets there brilliantly and plays the backhand cross court. Good rally between Goff, picks the ball off Siniakova's feet. Net cord from Paolini sits up, actually helps Goff to put the backhand down the middle. And Paolini can't reply, and it's love 30.
Goff and Siniakova did a good job of putting both Italian serves under pressure in that first set. Couldn't hold on to the breaks, ended up having to leave it very late in the tiebreak.
Love 30. Paolini serves Irani, plays the backhand volley, then moves across to the forehand volley, doesn't put it away. Well, she does, because Siniakova gets a racket to it but can't do anything with it. And that was a good move after the first volley from Irani. Played it straight back, but then moved really quickly to put that volley away. 15-30. On the Paolini serve. Forehand return from Siniakova straight to Irani, who again moves quickly after the first volley, and she just reads what Goff was trying to do. Goff was trying to play the angle cross court, and instead Sarah Irani moved right forward and had a simplest of volleys to put away.
The way Irani moves at the net, it reminds me a bit of table football. You know when you have I'm sure it's called something different in the US, but basically when you have a string of footballers,
yeah,
little plastic footballers on one pole, and you move the pole around side to side, and that's what Irani's like, because like there's 3 of her on a pole and somebody's there moving her back and forth.
I think the Americans call it Fußball.
Thank you.
Which obviously comes from German, but yeah, absolutely. Her movement is like she's being pulled around on a string. So they've got game point, Paolini and Irani, but they're not going to win it because that's Siniakova playing a smart return down the line. She's gone cross-court almost every time, and this time she changes it up, goes straight down the line and for a winner. Back to juice. Quickly back into position. There's no problem with the shot clock here. It's 15 seconds on the clock. Both these pairs playing very quickly. Misses the first serve. Does Paolini, and Goff steps into a backhand, hammers it at Irani, and then a forehand at Irani, and this time she can't control the backhand volley and it goes long. Very aggressive on return, Goff.
Just to give you an idea of how many people are here in Court Philippe Chatrier, more and more people have joined. As Simon said, it's been open to Grand Pass holders, which has given people who've come here early to Roland Garros a big treat, being able to watch this really compelling and engaging women's doubles final. So all but really the top tiers are pretty full. So what the players will see at their eye level is a sea of faces, which is fantastic. And it's not always the case in doubles finals at Slams, because they're often earlier in the morning.
Or after a match. Ooh, Paolini wallops a forehand. Goff leaves it, but she probably couldn't have got it anyway, and it was just inside the baseline, and they saved the break point. Yeah, I think doubles players, they have a hard time of it sometimes because people have had to sit there watching a long singles match, for example, before their match, and then they come on, not always for the finals, and they're often used to playing in front of not that many people. So for them to have a crowd like this for a final would be a very good feeling. Siniaková, at the second time of asking, puts a backhand volley away, and there's another break point to face on the Paolini serve.
Little chat from Irani, little whisper in the ear.
Going to play sort of I formation again, where the two players are almost lined up vertically. Big return from Siniaková. Irani nets a volley, probably one of the worst volleys she's hit this match. She's been very sharp at the net. That not a good one. And there's a break for Goff and Siniaková. And Brad Gilbert in the stands, the coach of, or one of the coaches of Coco Goff, is standing up, getting involved, enjoying what he's seeing, because Goff and Siniaková now lead 2-love in this second set, having taken the first on the tiebreak.
Unmistakable in his customary bucket hat.
Yeah.
Brad Gilbert.
Very careful about covering up in the sun. He's had a few moles removed in the last few years. He's obviously spent a long time in the American sunshine and all over the world, really, so he's very aware of the problems that the sun can bring. Irani and Paolini win the first point on the Siniaková serve. And the almost the second, as Irani thought she'd made that backhand return down the line. Just missed. 15-all.
Yes, I was listening to Andy Roddick on his very good podcast, if you get the chance to listen to it. I think it's called Served, with John Wertheim, who you and I both know, very, very, very interesting and well-informed American journalist. Also works for the Tennis Channel, one of the rights-holding broadcasters here in Paris. But he, Roddick, was saying that he's also, you know, had to have some skin lesions removed, and that, you know, he wished he'd known earlier about being sun smart.
Well, yeah, backhand volley put away by Irani. There was a time about 10 years ago when Felix Mantilla, the former Spanish player, a very good clay courter, was trying to educate all the players about the use of sun cream, because a lot of we discovered that a lot of players didn't like using sun cream because it made the hands greasy and they just didn't like the feel of it. Now, of course, it's incredibly important to use it, and he wanted tennis to introduce a system where someone could actually come on with cream and even administer the cream, as Goff plays 3-4 volleys in the same point, keeping her in the rally, and Siniaková lifts a lob, the smash from Irani, a fifth half volley this time from Goff, and they're back in the point. Paolini goes cross court to Siniaková. Good depth from Siniaková. Paolini equal to it so far. Goff moves and doesn't have to hit a sixth volley, but that was great stuff from Coco Goff as they win the point, and it's 30-15.
Yes, Goff absolutely kept them in a rally. They really had no business winning there. Great resilience at the net. Yeah, I mean, Felix Mantilla then went to work for Tennis Australia, and he really was somebody who did suffer from problems with his skin after having too much sun. Yes, remember Andre Agassi once calling a ball kid out to put sunscreen on his bald head.
Yeah.
Very sensibly, because he didn't want to get the greasy stuff on his hands.
All right for the ball kid, though.
Well, I don't mind. I mean, the worst thing is to rub sunscreen
into.
Like
giving Andre Agassi a head rub.
Yes, I mean, it's something to tell your grandchildren
Absolutely.
About, isn't it? I mean,
double fault, meanwhile, from Siniaková gives Irani and Paolini a break-back point. No, it's a very good point, and anyone who knows a lot about sun care and stuff will know that most of the damage comes in the early years, so it's all about making sure that you're covered up properly and use sunblock. Oh, brilliant forehand from Siniaková to save herself and save the break point. Inside out, past Paolini, and it's back to juice.
That was a real barnstormer from Siniaková there.
Yeah, most people who suffer from skin issues with skin cancer and stuff, it tends to be related to what happens in their early years. So that's the key. and then it comes out much later. But yeah, the more aware people are, the better, and tennis players in particular, because we're out, the tennis world follows the sun around the year.
And obviously you think about how many hours they spend on the practice court as well as matches, and you do always see in locker rooms vats and vats of sunscreen, and now you get sprays which are much drier.